I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope those of you that were at the Predators game last night are feeling okay this morning with a late start. 8:46, I believe, was the official time last night. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing?
Yeah, by the way, was that just because of – because, I mean, obviously the game before wasn't – you know, went late, didn't go into overtime, but it went, you know, it went past time. Is that all it was?
I think that's probably the plan.
Just ESPN. Yeah. You know what, man? Do what you do in college sports.
Yeah.
Put on ESPN News to start.
Yeah.
8:30.
Let's get rolling,
on a weeknight.
Doesn't
need to be 8:46.
Yeah. Doing some catering to the West Coast. You may hear more about this coming up at 7:45.
Oh, all right. Well, then I'll just shut my mouth then.
I'm upset about it. Michelle Knezovic, good morning. How are you?
Doing good this morning. I decided to wear my robe to work. I'm really happy that Joe pointed it out this morning.
Yeah.
Well, now that you mention, I mean, it is a very nice peacoat.
I'm trying to be like Willie Donick. He showed up to Bridgestone last night. He has this nice peacoat, little collar. We're like, Willie, we love that. He's like, I got it in Prague. We're like, oh, did you?
Very sophisticated.
Yeah, when Willie gets Willie shopping Donick in Prague. Oh,
also,
never know what's going to happen.
Not wearing my robe, everyone listening. I'm wearing a peacoat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very nice coat.
It is.
I mistook it for a robe.
You know what's not very nice? That game last night for the Nashville Predators was not great. End up losing 4-3 in a shootout to the LA Kings. And Joe, I said this, and I think most people who watched the game probably agreed with it on Twitter last night, but maybe some don't. It's game 5 of the regular season. It's the middle of October. You know, there's 77 games left for the Nashville Predators. That was a bad loss last night. I don't really know how to say it any other way. I mean, you're up 3-1. In the third period against a team that played the night before, also went to overtime the night before on the road in Detroit, and then had to travel to your place to take you on in the second half of a back-to-back. They got their backup goalie in there. You're up 3-1 in the third period. Not only up 3-1 in the third period, up 3-1 in the second half of the third period, and you blow the lead to get it to go to overtime and then lose in the shootout. To me, that's a bad loss. Like, this is a team, you needed to win that game. This team, with the way that they're constructed, needs to close that game out when you're up 3-1 in the third period. And they got some problems right now. They're 9 penalties last night. I mean, you're not going to win very many hockey games taking 9 penalties. And look, even if you don't get lit up on the power play, which the Predators, to their credit, didn't last night. I mean, they did allow a power play goal. I think officially they may have ended up allowing 2 power play goals. I have to go back and look. There was a 4-on-4 involved in there too. But even if you're not getting lit up on the power play, there's zero momentum. Like, there's zero flow to the game when you're taking 9 penalties in a game. And they're 2-2-1. They could be in a much worse spot right now than they are. Fact of the matter is, when you factor in the 5 games, I think you could say probably for a grand total of maybe 2 games worth of game time, they've played well. I thought they played really well in the first game against San Jose. I thought they played well for about half of the second game against San Jose and about half the game last night. That's it. That's about all I've seen from the Preds thus far. And I said this last night, and I stick by it. The expectation for this team should be higher this year. And because it is higher, I personally kind of view this team through a harsher lens this year, and they got some problems right now. It was good to see Forsberg and Duchesne and Granlund kind of get things going last night as much as they could with the game flow being what it was, and you're constantly out there on the penalty kill. But 2-2-1, again, from a record standpoint, they're not really in that bad of shape. They got some problems right now. They are not playing good hockey at all right now.
Yeah, it's like how does, like to your point, like how does a team get dominated? And I understand a lot of times a team's chasing a game, and so that helps dictate that. But how does a team get controlled to that extent by a team that's on a back to back? You know, and when you're in control of the game, how does that happen?
It's a great question. I mean, I think some of it is you're taking penalties. I mean, look, they had a power play toward the end of regulation where even if you don't score on the power play, you're running out the clock basically at that point. And Matt Duchesne takes a stupid penalty on Drew Doughty, and all of a sudden it's 4-on-4, and they're able to tie things up. Like, it's just zero discipline with their stick fouls. And look, there was one call. You know, Yossi got called for a penalty last night that I just thought was ridiculous. I mean, it was not holding. So there was a bad call mixed in there as well. But one of the nine was a bad call. Like the other seven, the other eight I thought were good. And you just can't have that. And, you know, they were the most penalized team in the league last year, and we all just kind of brushed it off as, well, I mean, they got a lot of fighting majors in there, and that's the way they play, and there's aggressiveness and all that stuff. But the stick infractions have been a problem with this group for a while. And, again, if you take nine penalties in a game, you're just probably not going to win. Like, it's hard to win that way when you're taking nine penalties. And to their credit, like, they took all those penalties. I mean, they went through a run in the second period of penalties, like just back to back to back where they could not get anything going. And then they took the lead. They're up 3-1 after two. And you're thinking to yourself, well, with all these things that have gone wrong, you're up 3-1 with a chance to close this thing out in the third period. And they just totally collapsed in the third period. They had a couple of chances to win in overtime too, and it looks to me like there's a lot of overthinking going on out there, especially on the power play. Like, they're trying to make the perfect play rather than just shooting the puck. And, you know, that's a problem that they've had before on the power play. They didn't have much of that problem last year. And right now, their power play – I mean, look, the power play numbers are atrocious right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing – yeah, you know, first of all, on the penalties, you know, I mean, last year there was plenty of talk too. It wasn't just that they're a big, burly, fighting team. You know, I mean, they had, like, way too many of those penalties, like the stick penalties and just the stuff that you just can't have. And sometimes it's because you get beat, but sometimes it's just like, what are you doing? And the power play, I feel like, you know, the thing is, last year it's like they just had that balance of, okay, now just go ahead and send it up there and go get it. But they also made a lot of great plays. You know, like, they made a lot of perfect plays. They had that chemistry and connection. And it is amazing how that thing, that in particular, can get in five people's heads.
Yeah.
You know, it's same people who did it so well. And again, it's like you said, you always have to return back to five games in here.
Right.
But it's visibly, you can tell a huge difference. The exact same people, exact same approach, all of it looked totally different doing that. And that thing was such a big part of their success last year.
Well, look, there's no reason to panic. They're 2-2-1. Like I said, they could be in a much worse spot right now. I do think if you're in that locker room, there better be some urgency coming out on Thursday as you take on Columbus. Like, more than anything, the results, you've not played well. Like, that's the main thing. Like, there's a lot of holes that they have in their game right now. Like, I thought Johansson's line last night with Niederreiter and Tolvanen was non-existent the whole game. And I don't know how much of that's on them and how much of that is they just could never get out there because they're killing penalties.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So
it's hard to even evaluate yourself in 5-on-5 when you're in the box that much.
Well, and, you know, we talked about – I threw out two things yesterday that needed to get better. You needed to have Duchesne and Forsberg get rolling a little bit, figure things out with Granlund, and they did. By the way, Granlund was awesome last night. I mean, killing penalties, moving the puck well on the power play. The first two goals of the game, he's great pass through the middle to Cody Glass, and the second pass to Forsberg was just ridiculous. He had another one in the third period
fantastic.
Where he threaded the needle to Duchesne, too. I mean, they were good last night. Herdline, need to get going offensively. Well, Tanner Janot puts one in last night. So a couple of things that you needed to have happen happen for you last night, but the overshadowing theme is the penalties. And it's a problem right now. They've already shifted the D pairings around, which I wondered if they might, because quite frankly, I don't think Alex Carey has been good so far. And he got moved down to the third pairing last night with Jeremy Lozon. Fabro goes up with Yossi, so still kind of feels like they're searching for that part a bit right now. They got some problems, and I would hope that there's some urgency coming out on Thursday as they go on the road and take on Columbus. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Will from Bellevue on the text line says, we win 62% of the faceoffs, have 31 hits, 17 blocks, 10 takeaways, and we lose. Take 9 penalties to 5 for LA, 0 power play goals, a man up in overtime. That's the other thing, a power play in overtime too. We face their backup goalie, and Saros looks pedestrian. I know it's early, but what's going on with this team? The result is very frustrating. What are your thoughts? Saros, I don't think Saros has been top-level Saros yet by any stretch of the imagination. I actually thought for the most part last night he's pretty good. I mean, the first goal is a redirection in front of the net with nobody on the guy, and the other two just breakdowns out there. I mean, Saros – right now, quite frankly, is the least of my worries if I'm a Predators fan.
Yeah. Most of those, I mean, I know it's 9 goals, but most of them,
Well, they were complete no-shows in the Dallas series. Yeah. Like the back-to-back games against Dallas, I mean, it was a walking dead out there. Nobody was going.
Yeah. I don't think at this point, could Saros put the cape on and maybe change some results? Yeah. But at this point, I'd put him way down the list of things to worry about.
So, again, I mean, you're 2-2-1. It's not the end of the world. You get a point last night at least, I guess. I mean, that's if you're the optimist, that's how you could look at it. I kind of view it the other way of, man, did you let a point slip away last night, and you gave one to a team that had no business getting one last night. But the fact of the matter is, you're 2-2-1. You're in a fine spot from a record standpoint. I mean, thank God they played the Sharks. The Sharks are 0-5, and they are just terrible. I mean, they've already got the coach talking about how fragile they are out there 5 games into the season. I mean, they're awful. So that's the good news. You took care of business against an awful team, but they are about 3 or 4 notches below where they should be in terms of the way that they play the game. And I do think with the expectations with this team, you expect better than what you've seen thus far, particularly defensively. Like they've just had some breakdowns defensively against Dallas and a couple times last night where you're just like, what is that? Like, you've got to be better defensively. So they got some things to figure out. And, again, I know it's game 6 coming up on Thursday. There would need to be some urgency. And if there's not on Thursday, that would be concerning to me if I'm a Predators fan. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. Take our first look at the Titans and the Colts coming up on Sunday as well. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thanks, Robbie. Coming up tomorrow, a little Thursday night football action. We got the Saints and the Cardinals. I like the Cardinals minus the 2. Listen, we don't know about Andy Dalton if he's going to play or not. So I like the Cardinals minus 2. Take them on the money line as well. Probably going to take Alvin Kamara also over on rushing. And Superbook wants to know if you can beat Vegas this football season. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every single week to go head-to-head with the best odd makers in Las Vegas. And the reason I like Superbook is because they don't have any fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just a team of the best odds makers in the business behind the counter at Superbook in Las Vegas. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So all you got to do, just download that Superbook Sportsbook app, or you can visit their website, superbook.com, and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Like you mentioned, the limited time you get in the bye structure of the rules at this point. What's the balance there between maybe working on a few things of the self-scout you talked about last week and just taking a few extra hours of prep for the Colts?
I think it's a balance. I think we try to, do some self-scout stuff on Wednesday. I think we'll do a combination of both of those things today, and then work towards the Colts as we move on in the week.
That was Mike Vrabel on Monday at his press conference, looking ahead to the Titans and the Colts coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, a lot happening this week in the world of sports, but there is a gigantic showdown coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. The Titans and the Colts. The Colts get the win, the dramatic win, against the Jags on Sunday. They improved to 3-2-1. Titans at 3-2. They've won three in a row coming off the bye week, and we'll see what the status of Jonathan Taylor looks like for the Colts this week as the week progresses. We'll get more into that going up here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, just your initial thoughts on the Titans and the Colts and the magnitude of this one coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, it's a big one, and I just feel like the Colts have got to have a lot more momentum and confidence than the first time they played the Titans. You know, it wasn't pretty at all against Denver. Probably no one should feel good about that game, winning it, losing it, having to watch it, anything to do with it. But they made some late plays, and then I actually thought coming away from the Colts-Jags game, like, I still feel pretty good about the Jags as a competitive team this year. I don't know what that's going to mean in the bottom line. Obviously, you lose three straight like this, and, you know, right now you have to be considered out of the race. And I don't know that they'll get back in it, but I don't think they're bad. And, you know, I think Trevor Lawrence is he's got ups and downs, but at times he can be really good. And I think they've got a talented roster. So I thought that was just a good comeback win for the Colts. There were some times when it looked like they were on the verge of, you know, just being in real trouble in that game. You know, the Jags getting some separation, and the way the Colts played in the second half and the fourth quarter, I think there's a lot to like about that. It's really interesting. I'd love to know, like, what do Colts fans feel right now, because there are high expectations for this team. Overall, you still look at Matt Ryan, and you can't be like, oh, this is the guy for years. You know this is it's a Band-Aid. So, you know, you got a chance to win this division, but at the same time, I feel like there are a lot of Colts fans who are already like, okay, Reich, get out of there. You know, sometimes you get into hate watching as a fan because your team is so bad, but now it's like they're starting to show life. So, you know, how do you feel? How does Indy Ben feel? I feel like he's just abandoned us now. He was so excited, and he's just abandoned us. I feel
like he'll be back this week. They've got a little positive momentum now.
You think
heading
so?
Into the game? Yeah, 3-2-1.
We have some.
How
other...
couldn't you feel good about 3-2-1 heading into the game?
Sure, 3-2-1. Make it all adds up. We do have some other Colts fans on the text
we
line.
Do.
So yeah, it's an interesting situation. But that's the fans. The team, I think there's confidence. I think there's momentum, and I think it's a really interesting game Sunday here. You know, there was all the fuss over Jim Irsay, who, by the way, had some very interesting comments on Daniel Snyder yesterday.
He did.
Woo! Hey, I tell you what.
Very
I know we'll talk about that later on the show, but, hey, good for Jim Irsay, man. You keep
buying I will
up,
give him credit. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind.
You keep paying $500K for a Jimmy Page guitar pick, and that's fine, man. You want to call out Daniel Snyder? Good for you. I wish more owners would do the same thing. But so much was made of how the Titans, and he's like, you know, calling these staff meetings and they beat him. Well, it'd be pretty sweet for them to come in here and even it up and get another win here. And they've done better here than they've done in Indy in recent years.
It's hard to look at this game, you know, just from a stylistic standpoint and the way that both offenses have performed thus far. And really, I mean, the way to a certain extent, the way the both defenses have played the last few weeks. Like, I don't expect a very high-scoring affair coming up on Sunday at Nissan. Like, I still wonder how capable the Titans offense is of being a high-scoring offense. And, you know, based on what I've seen from Indy, like, they made some good plays in the Jacksonville game. They're not, like, some offensive juggernaut out there. So, I think this is going to be yet another game where, you know, which defense can make more plays is probably going to determine the winner of this one. I do wonder, and one thing that we talked about coming out of the Washington game, you know, Dennis Daly, it was rough in that game for him, particularly early on. I mean, he got a little bit better as the game went on, but he got torched to begin that game. And one of the things going into the bye week was, are the Titans, are they just going to roll with Dennis Daly as the left tackle? Are they going to look elsewhere for left tackle as they go ahead here? And, I mean, look, Vrabel was asked about it the other day and talked about considering options at a lot of spots, I believe, was the response from Vrabel. So, I mean, it's Wednesday today. I don't think they've made any moves at the tackle position at this point that we know about. So I guess they're riding it out with Dennis Daly, but I wonder if that's going to be the plan as they move forward here. Didn't go well against Washington.
Yeah, it's a worthwhile question. I just don't know what the alternative is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, in the past they've had you got some Brylo and you could always go to Quessenberry, and then of course at some point some Brylo gets hurt, you have to go to Quessenberry. Or you have Kelly, you have different guys. Who, by the way, Dennis Kelly. I
guess he's going to be the starting left tackle.
The starting left tackle. He has overtaken the first-round rookie, Ryman, from Central Michigan, and he is coming back to get after his team. And his brother. Wait, little brother? No, older brother, probably.
I believe so, yeah.
His older brother. Who was, by the way, a Titans passing game coordinator, for people who didn't know.
Well, I still look back at that. And look, Dennis Kelly keeps bouncing around, so... Obviously, he's not really sticking anywhere. I mean, he's in Green Bay last year. Now he's in Indy. But, I mean, look, I thought he did a pretty good job the other day when he got in there. And I just feel like if you're the Titans, wouldn't it be nice to still have Dennis Kelly? That's just me.
I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. But, yeah, they moved on. And, well, I thought Quessenberry, I'm watching the Bills the other day. Quessenberry looked fine for the Bills out there at right tackle. So, in the meantime, basically, who are you going to? I mean, you're going to Raiders, right? I mean, is that the only alternative?
I mean, it kind of feels like it right now. And, based on Vrabel's response the other day, it doesn't feel like they have any consideration whatsoever to playing him at tackle.
Right. His answer was cryptic, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't, with Vrabel, he's not going to say a lot. If he can help it. But it did not sound like that was really an option. I mean, you've got Jordan Ruse is purely an interior player. They got, Jamarco Jones on IR. But obviously the swing tackle right now, they have LaRaven Clark right now, who I haven't seen play a snap, who's on the active roster. So I guess that could be a possibility.
Could be.
That's it. But, I would right now presume that Dylan Raiden's, along with being depth inside, is the swing tackle.
Jordan from Franklin on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if our line plays like it did on Sunday, we beat the Titans. Allowed zero sacks. I like our chances. We don't gift-wrap any drive inside or out the 30 twice. Well, I hear you. The problem is you've been gift-wrapping drives all year. That has been a problem.
Yeah.
Turning the ball over.
But look, that there's no doubt. That game, the way it was going, those turnovers could not have been more timely for
sure.
The Titans. Could not have been worse for the Colts. You can't count on that. If you're the Titans, you can't count on that happening again. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the Colts. That's a big reason why they are where they are, even though they're not in a bad spot.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the Colts. Welcome more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And I'll throw this question out there. Could the Colts actually be more dangerous to this Titans team without Jonathan Taylor? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Vols. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, coming up at 7:30 as well. Right now, talking Titans and Colts. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, the question that I'm about to ask, I realize, on some level, is asinine. But I'm going to ask it anyway.
We're the only show in town not afraid to ask
asinine questions. Yeah, we'll ask asinine questions and not think twice about it. But just kind of follow me where I'm going here. Jonathan Taylor out against the Jags. And it was clear that the Colts just totally changed their game plan with him not being in there. Matt Ryan threw the ball 58 times in this game. And it's not like, you know, they were down by 21 in this game at any point, having to fight their way back. Now, they were down in the game, but he threw the ball 58 times in this game. 389 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 6-7 a play, which is just funny to me. But 6-7 a play, threw the ball 58 times in this game. You think back to the last time the Titans and the Colts were together. I mean, the Colts tried to run the ball, and they could not do it against the Titans. Jonathan Taylor got totally stuffed, ultimately got hurt in that game against the Titans, and has been dealing with an injury ever since. Now, I think there's a decent chance Jonathan Taylor plays coming up on Sunday against the Titans, but we'll see what happens there. But with the Titans' pass defense, the numbers being what they are so far this year, which is not very good against the pass, if the Colts try to throw the ball more, if they're forced to throw the ball more, could that actually be bad news for the Titans rather than trying to run it with Jonathan Taylor against a defense where ever since game one against Saquon, it looks like the Titans' rush defense has figured things out pretty nicely?
I hear you. I understand the question. But I pretty quickly say no. I mean, the thing is, if you're the Colts, what you have to like is the receiving core is starting to come on. The tight ends and the receivers, it's actually looking like a decent group. And if you can now have balance with that, if you can now have the threat of Jonathan Taylor, maybe you really have something. So, no, I mean, I watched them, you know, I watched that whole game the other day, and Jackson had some nice runs for them. But you think about defending them when you actually have to worry about, you know, a passing game. Because the Titans, first of all, the Titans got to Matt Ryan a lot, and I think a lot more than like the Jags of the other day.
Yeah.
So I think that there's some progress on the offensive line in that way. The Titans were so locked in on Taylor. They did a great job, obviously. I think, you know, the Titans looking at the Colts now with Taylor might look at it a little bit differently. I just, you know, I think this is what you're, this is what the Colts hoped, the possibility of Taylor now coming back and being Jonathan Taylor, and maybe having a little more space because people actually respect what they can do with their passing game. I think that's what the Colts envision. So, no, I don't think so. I get the question. But now it's time for the Colts to see if they can take it to another level and put it all together.
Well, let me just say for the record, I don't think that the Colts are better off without Jonathan Taylor in this game. But I'm just, you know, I'm throwing the question out there philosophically. If they're throwing the ball a little bit more, could that actually work out in their favor against the Titans' defense? It's not been all that great against the pass so far this year. Now, the risk you run when you start throwing the ball 58 times like they did. Now, to their credit, their offensive line held up well in this game. But as we saw the last time these two teams met, DeNico Autry was a problem for that Colts offensive line. And if Bud Dupree's healthy, he's got a chance to be a problem for that Colts offensive line. So you start dropping back that much, you run the risk of getting your quarterback hit. And as we know, when the quarterback's been hit so far this year, not very good at holding on to the football. So that's the risk you run. But, you know, I fully agree. Jonathan Taylor is obviously their best player offensively. But the Titans have done a really good job in the run defense since then. Now, one thing that was interesting on Sunday, Michael Pittman had a great game, 13 catches, 134 yards. But Jackson, the running back, caught 10 passes for 79 yards in that game.
It's like, and what you thought Nyheim Hines was going to do this
year. Hines was going to do. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor can catch the ball a little bit coming out of the backfield, so he can hurt you in different ways. But I do wonder, you know, what is – if Jonathan Taylor is able to go this week, what's it going to be like? Is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be effective running the ball? He wasn't effective running the ball against the Titans the last time out. And look, even though they turned the ball over in the game, the Colts did have success throwing the ball against the Titans. Mo Alie-Cox lit them up that last game. So the Titans have some work to do in their pass defense, and we've talked a lot about the reasons for that.
Yeah, well, the tight ends did very well, of course, against them. I thought, you know, they did a pretty good job for the most part, although obviously Pierce got after Caleb Farr a little bit. That's where I'm very interested in the Titans. What are they doing at corner this week? And the whole defense, is Hooker back? There's an upgrade from the win in Indy. Is it like Amadi inside with McCreary and Fulton. I think I would count that as an upgrade. Is Cunningham back inside? Is that an upgrade? It should be an upgrade. Although it doesn't really help you when it comes down to covering, you know, tight ends, but that's going to be more David Long, and it's going to be the safeties. And then obviously Bud Dupree. I mean, the Titans stopped the run. And again, that's why Zach Cunningham's here. It's like,
yeah.
But they did a good job, Long and either Schobert or Cole. But does it get a lot better if Zach Cunningham gets in there? Or any better? And then Bud Dupree.
I mean, you would hope so if you're paying him that much money that it gets a little bit better.
You would hope so. But then the big thing to me, I mean, Hooker is a big, big thing. But Bud Dupree, if you now have him, I understand the Colts, you know, have figured some things out. Very interested to watch Dennis Kelly. I'm with you. I've thought all along, like, keep that guy. That guy's fine, you know. But the Colts have him now, and that'll be very interesting if Bud Dupree can go. I mean, that's where you put all those pieces I just added to what they have, and the Titans could have a really good defense. And so, you know, if all those guys are on the field, and we're going to find out a lot more today with who's out on the practice field and what the injury report says. You know, the Colts could be facing – the Colts have confidence. The Colts have momentum. They're getting better, but they would be facing a, I would say, potentially significantly better defense.
Well, it looks like the Colts' passing game is starting to come together a little bit the last couple of weeks. Number one, the emergence of Alec Pierce, and it really started against the Titans for the most part with Alec Pierce. He made a big play in the game. Was it against Caleb Farley? I'm trying to remember. I believe it was.
Well, first he got a short one on Farley.
Yeah.
And then Farley, I guess, kind of got a PBU, but it really just a bad pass to the outside. Farley gave the incomplete sign, and then he hit him deep. Yeah, then he burned past Farley. So, yes.
That's when it kind of started for Alec Pierce. And look, you know, Michael Pittman's an interesting guy. I don't know that I think of him as kind of like your classic number one wide receiver. It looked like it last week, though. 13 catches, 134 yards on 16 targets. I mean, you know they're going to try to get the ball to him more than they did in the last Titans game. I thought Christian Fulton was really good against him when he was matched up on him the last game. So, but having said all that, like I think the Colts certainly feel better about their passing game now than they did the last time you saw each other just a few weeks ago. And the way that Pittman and Pierce have played as of late, I think, justifies that confidence. And look, Matt Ryan, when Matt Ryan's holding on to the ball and not turning it over, he's fine. That's just been the problem with him so far this year, is he's turned it over a lot.
Yeah, and obviously in that game, just some key moments. I mean, you can't count on like Tier – well, maybe you can, but, you know, Tier Tart, Titans star defensive back.
Best pass defender the Titans have.
I mean, you know.
The numbers don't lie.
Right. Yeah, if the Titans get a couple of those Sunday, then I really like their chances. But just pressuring Ryan, that's the thing. I was, and I agree with Jordan from Franklin. I mean, the zero sacks, I don't think totally reflects how it looked. There were definitely, you know, moments of pressure there from the Jags, but still, it's obviously progress. And there were definitely more clean pockets in that game for him. For stretches of that game than you might have expected. Maybe the Jags got tired, whatever it is. I think you have to look at the offensive line and say they're looking. I thought the interior of the Colts offensive line in that game looked like it's supposed to look. You know, it's supposed to be one of the best in the NFL. Much has been made of how much they're paid and how they've been underwhelming, but it's pretty clear that they're starting to get better. And offensive lines get better during the course of seasons. Usually.
Well, look, you know, even Paris Campbell, a guy that I feel like we've heard about for 15 years with the Colts at this point. 7 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown on Sunday. Like, I mean, those three guys look pretty good on Sunday against the Jags.
Yeah, Campbell as the third guy, because they've been trying to make him the second guy. And he's been hurt so much anyway, but he's not that. But he as like the third guy, kind of like a Swiss Army knife, get him a screen, try to get him deep here and there. That's his role. That's a good role for him. And, it's starting to look okay for Indy.
Starting to look okay.
If they come in here and win Sunday, you know, I wouldn't bury the Titans then either. But, boy, it's a race.
It's a race. Also, a huge opportunity if you're the Titans, where if you do win this game, you're 4-2. They're 3-1. And you've got both games against them in the win column in your favor.
So it's a 2.5 game lead.
It's a 2.5 game lead. Yeah. Like this, this is a big opportunity for the Titans coming up on Sunday. And look, I mean, you're at home. You've already beaten them on the road. You know, a home field advantage in this series over the years hasn't meant a whole lot, particularly to the Colts side of things coming into here. But a big opportunity for the Titans coming up on Sunday as well. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts, 615-737-1025. We'll look at the Titans on the offensive side of the ball and ask this question: should John Robinson be active before the NFL trading deadline, which is fastly approaching? We'll get to that next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. By the way, Robbie Stanley on the board last night in Preds Pick to Click. Thank you, Philip Forsberg.
Oh, nice.
So Joe Rexrode remains the only one still on the snide in Preds Pick to Click.
Am I going
to
suck at everything this year? Can I have one thing?
No.
I mean, I was pretty bad at Pickskin Pick'em this week. We'll get to that later.
That's okay, because I went 2-4 too. So, yeah.
I don't know what I went. So
I think you went 3-3. It wasn't a very good
not a great week for us.
Yeah.
All right.
But at least I'm consistent.
That's right. Talking Titans and Colts, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So on the offensive side of the ball, we've looked at the offensive line at left tackle. Obviously, wide receiver with Treylon Burks still out right now, Joe, is a problem area for this Titans offense. So my question to you is this. The Titans are at 3-2. They're leading the AFC South. They're in the thick of things in terms of, you know, the AFC, I think, from a record standpoint, probably not as good as people thought it was going to be. Lots of, you know, beating up on each other that has taken place thus far. If you're John Robinson looking at this team and the position that they're in right now, how active or not active do you think that he should be before the NFL trading deadline coming up on November the 1st, which is about 2 weeks away, a little bit less?
Well, I think it's the left tackle question. Now I know there's been some talk. ESPN put a thing out the other way about the Titans possibly trading Austin Hooper.
I saw that.
I know at The Athletic we've kind of talked about, you know, this idea of like what would teams be looking at for trading guys on their team. Another guy who comes to mind for me, guy we talked about earlier in the show, you know, Zach Cunningham. If there's somebody out there who loves Zach Cunningham, and you could get a mid-round pick, and you would have to eat about $2.8 million, I believe, in a trade with him in dead money. But if you feel good about – because Rice is back. Remember, Monty Rice, third-round pick, 2021, and that deliciously wonderful 2021 draft.
Yeah.
But he is back, and like Dylan Cole has played okay, you know, pretty well, and Schobert is here. So those are two guys you could look to deal. I just don't really buy the Hooper thing, because then what the heck do you have in your tight end room? I know that he's been very underwhelming relative to expectations, but if you take him out of there, okay, so you have Swaim, and I think Chig Okonkwo is coming, and he's going to be more and more of a factor, and I think he could be a very good player, but you're going to just go ahead and just roll the dice with that right now. I don't think you can afford to do that. There are very few rooms on this team that are stocked enough to trade someone. I think inside linebacker is like the only one I can come up with.
Yeah, like trading someone away. I mean, like, I think it sounds nice to, like, Austin Hooper's bringing you nothing, so trade him away, get something for him, and then just go with Okonkwo and Swaim. But first off, like, how attractive is Austin Hooper right now
on
the trade market?
Yeah, right.
Especially with what he's being paid. Like, I don't know how much the team would have to would take over in terms of the money he's owed, but like how do you look at Austin Hooper, not just with the Titans, but it was going the other way with the Browns too, and now you see his production or lack thereof this year. Like, I don't know how in demand Austin Hooper would be. And I kinda to that point, Joe, think back to his comments when he signed here, was Well, a contract offer was nice. I mean, didn't that kind of tell you what Austin Hooper's value may look like around the league right now?
I mean, if some of the GMs out there could see some of those practice videos,
yeah.
I'm telling you, they'd be really into it.
Be but all yeah, over it.
Same question was Zach Cunningham. I mean, obviously, the fact that it got down to where it did on the waiver wire for the Titans to get him last year, I don't think that's going to happen. As far as I don't think anything's going to happen, honestly. But it's worth talking about. I mean, it's coming up here, and I do think that. Look, obviously, it's a good thing that John Robinson made the deal he did to get Dennis Daly. And you don't want to overreact too much to one game of a guy being played like an accordion, like Dennis Daly was in Landover, Maryland, or wherever the heck Daniel Snyder's awful stadium is. But it wasn't very good, and you just don't have. Again, if Dylan Radins is more of an interior depth guy than an outside depth guy, then you really have a problem because Jamarco Jones is on IR.
Yeah.
So I feel like some kind of move for an offensive tackle is certainly worth exploring. I mean, again, you can do things like they did with LaRaven Clark, which was sign him to the active roster off the Eagles practice squad. And I have no idea. I have no idea how he's looking, how he might project. I mean, this is a guy who's been in the league 7 years and, you know, hasn't done a ton. So what team out there has an offensive tackle good enough to play for you that they're willing to deal right now?
That's the thing.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the issue you run into with that position there of, you know, if you do find somebody that you're comfortable starting for you, number one, I guess a team that's completely out of it may be open to it, but most teams around the league are not willing to give up starter quality offensive linemen, particularly starting quality tackles. So that's the problem you run into there. I mean, the other position, Joe, that people are going to look at is wide receiver. And could you add anything there? I mean, we've talked about the DJ Moore stuff. You know, Robbie Anderson just got traded the other day from the Panthers to the Cardinals. You know, there's rumors out there about Kendrick Bourne with the Patriots. He's not getting the snaps that he wants and all that stuff. Kenny Golladay with the Giants with his gigantic contract. And what do you have? I think he had two catches. I think he's got two catches for 22 yards on the season.
Yeah.
So
that's not happening.
I don't think that's going to be happening.
Happening for anybody.
That's the thing. Like, you look at wide receiver, and I understand wanting to go add to it, but, I mean, who's out there that's going to be available that you feel great about bringing in? And I know people are going to say, well, Odell Beckham Jr. Is going to have his pick at the litter where he wants to end up. And I mean, I'll just be quite frank with you. I don't see Odell Beckham Jr. looking at this Titans offense with how the style in which they play and thinking, yeah, I'll go there. That looks good.
Yeah. I mean, you could send him 2020 game film of this offense with A.J. Brown in it and say, hey, it can look pretty good, Odell. But that was also a different offensive line. Yeah, maybe a couple of those guys. I don't know, a Bourne. We've talked about more.
Man, that Kenny Golladay contract is bad.
Yeah, boy. And still, you're talking about the toast of the NFL right now, the New York football Giants. Yeah. How about that? I still think that was a bad loss, by the way. I don't care if they win out from here, okay? Bad loss. Bad loss in the opener. Yeah, somebody had a hilarious tweet the other day because, like, the interim coach in Wilkes was praising Moore's blocking.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, boy. Oh, I think it was Buck who had this, like, oh, John Robinson, are you seeing this? He's a good blocker. But we've talked a lot about that contract and that situation. I don't see it. I do think that at both positions it's worth looking at. But, again, I look at receiver. Like, you're probably not adding anything that's this huge impact relative to Treylon Burks coming back. Racy McMath coming back, whenever both of those things may be. That's the thing. You also have that information. You have a better feel of timeline if you're John Robinson.
Yeah.
But those guys, you throw them in with Woods. I mean, you know, you could still have a decent group. I just don't know who's out there that is gonna make some big splash. Again, people were excited about Josh Gordon. We saw what happened there. It's just usually it's not what you think it is. And if someone used to be a good player, they aren't anymore. But I think – offensive tackle scour the earth right now.
JC and Gulletsville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says if the Panthers deal McCaffrey, that might be a sign they could get a lineman from them for picks.
How many linemen from them can they get?
They got Dennis Daly, baby.
But yeah, I mean,
they could.
But to your point, I mean, look, if a team's in total fire sale mode, it's possible. But it's in the NFL, you know, you also like. it's not like, you know, it's not like other sports where, okay, just completely bail out and all picks and everything. Like, you can be back to decent and be a playoff caliber team in a year. So, you know, it's usually not the extent of a fire sale that you might think it is. But it's, hey, any other tackles, Panthers? Thank you for Daly. Do you have anyone else?
Just keep plugging them in there. The Tennessee Panthers on the offensive line.
That can be like the new Falcons thing. Yeah. The Panthers, the Titans.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols. Wild week for the Vols. We probably won't spend too much time looking ahead to UT Martin coming up on Saturday, but we will look ahead to what the rest of this season could look like for Tennessee after they've taken down Alabama. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.